In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Christ is among us. Birthdays, one of those milestones. Human beings love, we love milestones. Birthday parties is one of those milestones, the gift of life. Someone brought into the world out of nothing. And that's one reason why this evening the church is assembled to celebrate the nativity of the Theotokos. It's a birthday. It's a milestone. She's our mama, and we're here to recognize and venerate her. But that's not the main reason why we venerate the Theotokos. The real reason is because the Theotokos, out of all the people in the entire world, out of all of creation itself, she alone was the most obedient to God. And not only was she the most obedient, but she was the most obedient to God in what were really inhuman circumstances, in impossible circumstances. And yet she had a steadfast faith that remained unshaken. So that's why you hear in today's gospel, pastor thinking, what does this have to do with Mary? It's not even about, our Blessed Mother is not even mentioned in the gospel passage, but she is. Because what does our Lord say? What does he say to that woman who cries out, blessed is the womb that bore you and the breast that nursed you? And our Lord says, rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. In other words, blessed are those who obey God's word. And nobody matched the obedience of the Blessed Mother. And that is why the church has the great esteem and veneration for the Theotokos. Above every other saint, she has the highest place. As I said in the homily for the Dormition on August 15th, she ranks higher than even the angels that stand closest to Almighty God, the seraphim. In its history, the Byzantine Church has emphasized Mary's connection to all of humanity. Why? Because in the Theotokos, we see the fruition of what it means to be a human being. She's the fulfillment of all that we're supposed to be, filled with God. She is the culmination of salvation history. If you think about it, our liturgical year, which begins on September 1st, right? It's different than the Western Church. Western Church, the liturgical year begins on the first Sunday of Advent. For us, the liturgical year begins on September 1st. And the first great feast of the church is the nativity of the Theotokos, because she is showing us what it's all about to be human, what it really means to be fully human. And note, how does the liturgical year for us end? With the Dormition of the Blessed Mother. She's now sharing in the glory of God. So interestingly, the liturgical year begins with the Feast of Our Lady, and liturgical year ends with an emphasis on the Theotokos, because she encapsulates and shows us where all of us are heading. Now, the Western Church will emphasize the perpetual virginity of the Blessed Mother. Yes, the motherhood, but they emphasize more the perpetual virginity. The Eastern Church, however, emphasizes and we contemplate the motherhood of God. That's why in every icon, if it's an authentic icon of Our Lady, you will never see her by herself. We don't make statues or images of Our Lady by herself. Every icon will always have an image of Christ with her, because Mary is always pointing us to Christ. It's always reminding us of her motherhood. And the East rejoices in the Blessed Mother because in her humanity is participating in the divine plan. That's a meditation. That's a cause of our joy, that the Blessed Mother is participating in the very divine plan of God. The Son of God comes to earth. And how does he do it? By incorporating to himself a human nature that he took from our Blessed Mother. So that you and I and all the human race then could incorporate the divine nature in us. And grasping this profound truth puts everything in perspective of the kind of devotion, the kind of great devotion the Church has for the Theotokos. She who gave to the Son of God a human nature, she gave to the Son of God flesh and blood, so that through Christ, who now has a share in our humanity, we are able to become sons of God. That's the reason why we have this devotion to her. That's why the Church has the greatest veneration for her. The Church Fathers, we call them our teachers, talk about, or they give the name to this, it's called divinization, deification. Deification, divinization, becoming godly, is all possible because of the human cooperation of the Theotokos. And that's why I say, then in her, we see the extraordinary calling of the human person. And to her, then, the Church has a profound gratitude. A profound gratitude. Because through her now, we're able to have communion with the Son, who shared our human nature. And if you and I have communion with the Son, then we share in the life of the Father and the Holy Spirit. This is the good news that Christianity brings to the world. Yes, we don't have the answers to sickness and death. We don't have a way to end suffering. Christianity does not have a plan to end poverty. We don't have the plan to make world peace. We don't even have a plan to end COVID. But we have the greater news. We have the greater joy. We have the greater announcement to the world. Guess what? No matter what happens to you on earth, you can share right now and for all eternity in divine life. A life that never ends. And that's all possible because of the birth, the nativity of the Theotokos. If you look at the icon of Our Lady, and of course, as I point out in Scripture, in Scripture itself, despite the profound event of the Theotokos, the Nativity, you'll never find any announcement of it in the sacred Scriptures. And in fact, in all the other apocryphal writing, we don't really hear anything unusual, unique, or remarkable about this birth. It was rather routine, normal, and ordinary. And that's why you look at the icon, there's nothing extraordinary really happening. St. Anna gives birth to our Blessed Mother. You see Joel come up there in the tower. You see some midwives around, some nurses, and it's a very ordinary affair. And yet, if you look at that icon with spiritual eyes, you're going to see something quite profound. A profound statement in that birth of the Blessed Mother. In a way, the Church is saying the birth of every baby is a miracle. It's not routine. It's not normal. How many of you here have had a baby, and the minute that baby comes into your life, your whole world is turned upside down? Having a baby is hardly routine. But the greater thing is the miracle of it, the miracle of life. And when that baby is born, it's a sign to all of us of a new beginning. A new beginning. Something profound has happened. And with the birth of the baby, the world becomes a new place. With the birth of every child, the world becomes a different and newer place. And God gives the entire world to every new baby as a gift. Take and eat of it. Use it. It's for you. You. The celebration then of the Nativity is hardly something just normal and routine. It's a feast day for us because she's our mother, but it's also because with every birth is a miracle and something new is happening. But Mary also shows us our destiny, and that's why we're here this evening. We rejoice because in her we see our destiny, we see our completion, we see our fruition, we see where it's all going. And also with Mary, tonight's celebration recalls all the people that have been involved in her lineage. Mary didn't come out of a vacuum. There's a whole history to her. And tonight we remember all those people who are part of her history. Adam and Eve, King David, King Solomon, the prophet Aaron, the prophet Moses, Anna and Joachim. And all the other people in between them, it's all part of her heritage. And it's also, and she's also part of our heritage. And so we come tonight to celebrate with great joy someone and her heritage, which is all before and after her. So, yes, on the one hand, you and I, and we probably meet all people on a regular basis, who lament, rightly so, all the dark spots of our human lineage, our human hereditary line. We can lament, yes, about the curse of sin and the curse of death. But when we look at Our Lady, and of course all the other saints too, but especially when we look at Our Lady, we can also be filled with joy. We can be filled with hope, because we also belong to this heritage line. She who's filled with grace and the most beautiful of all of God's creation. So while there's plenty of evidence in the world that shows us how fallen this world is, how depraved we can act and how dark we can be toward one another, all the evil that our actions can incur in this world and cause, and it gives us reason to be cynical and suspicious, can even be causes of discouragement, and even sometimes, God forbid, despair. On the other hand, today's feast reminds us of the human potential for holiness, for grace, for goodness. Today's feast gives us reason not to despair, but to have hope, and not to fall into discouragement and sadness, but to be filled with joy. In Holy Mary, God comes to embrace the human race. And through her, he shares with you and me his goodness and his beauty. And because of Mary, you and I and every baptized person is able to greet each other with that joyful greeting. Christ is among us.